Hey, Flipside, it's Charlie here, and I've got Harrison, and we are not live at Pandemonium weekend.
That's right. It was last weekend.
Yep. So we are not live. We are recording this in the Flipside Studios here in Knightstown, Indiana, where they filmed the greatest movie of all time, Hoosiers. So, we went to Pandemonium, and I think the big reason we didn't record there is one, because Curtis worked that weekend. And then also, I just wanted to enjoy myself.
Yeah.
With the pan. I mean, this one was really big for me because the Savage Streets, of course, but I was like, yeah, I don't know. When I recorded the live show for the Super Monster Movie Fest, it was a lot of work.
Getting everything
set up and all that stuff. But yeah, Joe offered us a table to do a show at the Pandemonium weekend, and we just kind of turned it down. But we're still going to offer you the goods here. I don't know we were offered again to do a live show at the Drive Insanity, but again, I don't know if I'm going to do that. I really want to enjoy myself.
Right.
And Severin's going to have a table there, a booth there. So
yeah, that's right.
I want to check that out. And Jackie Kong and everything. It'd be cool to get an interview. I'll bring my recording gear just in case. But anyways, in this show, we're going to kind of go over the news. As always, we're going to talk about the Pandemonium weekend event. It was incredible. And then we're going to end the show talking about Arrow's new 4K release of Dune, which I have the deluxe steelbook edition, so we'll go over everything in that. And so for the news, what we have is the one I'm most excited about. Now, we've already talked, in case you missed last show, some really big hitters are coming out this year. We're going to get Legend sometime this month, I think. Or maybe might be November.
That's right.
So we're going to get that Legend 4K from Arrow. There's the Shaw Brothers collection from Arrow, which they've announced a little bit more information about that since we last talked. Basically, they announced the packaging. And it sounds kind of weird. It almost sounds like, you remember those 50 movie packs?
Yeah.
Where they had like the sleeve, they were like in an envelope each disc.
Yeah, you open up the box and then there's a little insert for all the sleeves and they're all kind of stacked on top of each other.
Yeah, now I could be understanding it wrong, but that seems like what they're doing with that Shaw Brothers collection.
Yeah.
It's kind of weird. But
it's kind of weird, but
we'll see.
The amount of movies, I guess, I understand, but
yeah. And then the folklore box set is coming out. They say December, but you know, with Severin, who knows? But we talked about all those last episodes. So if you want to hear more about that, you can listen to that episode. And Mark Hoik was on that episode. Now, Severin announced Nasty Habits. It's a nunsploitation box set. It's kind of a hefty price for only four movies. It's like 70. It's like 70 some dollars for four movies. But there are four nunsploitation movies I have never seen. A couple of them I've only heard of. So that kind of gets me excited when they release stuff that I haven't heard about. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
New stuff to get into. But yeah, they're doing Images in a Covenant. And they're doing Story of a Cloistered Nun. Am I saying that right?
I think it might be Cloistered. I don't know. I don't really understand.
Cloistered Nun.
What that means, but from the picture, I like it from what I get. From what I could tell.
Yeah, looks like she's not cloistered to me.
No.
And then we got Nun of Monza, the true story of Nun of Monza. So. Oh, and then we got Christina, Devil Nun, which that's one of the ones I've heard about, but I've never watched. But yeah, they all look great. I really like nunsploitation films. Are you a fan?
I haven't seen many.
Okay.
The trailer for this looked pretty crazy though.
Yeah, if I was to recommend some nunsploitation, I would definitely say The Devils, which is a Ken Russell film with Oliver Reed. And then Jess Franco made a movie that was a lot like The Devils, a little different, a little... I like it a lot, but it's called The Demons.
Okay.
But it's really good. There's this one scene where this girl comes up to this other girl and she like grabs her crotch.
Huh?
And she's like, yep, she's a witch or something like that. So random. And then you have Bruno Mattei's The Other Hell.
Yeah, because that's a Severin released film as well.
Yeah, and I forget what the movie was called, but I did watch a nunsploitation film at the Skyline. It was like a lost film on 35, and it was a nun fingering herself for quite a while.
Oh, yeah.
So that seemed more like a little bit of a softcore. It didn't really seem like it had much of a plot, so I don't know if that really counts.
No, yeah, I don't remember that name. I do remember thinking there might be, you know, a couple of backups on the interstate when people drive by that.
Yeah, because you could see it, yeah. But there's a lot of nunsploitation movies out there. Jess Franco made like 5 or 6 of them. So it's definitely a cool genre if you're into that kind of thing. But yeah, Severin's releasing that. I'll probably get it, even though it is a little pricey. But, you know, if you think about the Al Adamson set was like 140, right?
I don't quite remember.
And you got like 30-some films, so.
Yeah.
There's a 4K steel book of Street Fighter coming out from Mill Creek. I hate that movie, but some people like it. We're getting a Checkered Flag or Crash. That's coming from Code Red. Hey. And Children of the Damned is coming out from Warner Archive Collection. You know, Warner, like, is the worst. They have so many good movies, and they just kind of release them under this... I don't know why they release Superfly under their archive, because it's like... Superfly is like one of the best movies ever. I don't know why they feel like, oh, nobody's going to buy this. I think they underestimate the...
Probably,
the
yeah.
Cult.
Yeah.
And then Vinegar Syndrome just announced their pre-Black Friday sale or whatever the hell they do, their October releases. And it's weird. It's really weird. You have Camille Keaton in Italy, Nothing Underneath, Ticks, and The Laughing Dead, and The Grave. I'm not sure what The Grave is, but there's that. Then they put out Boarding House on Blu-ray. Yeah. I love Boarding House. I'm not saying anything about Boarding House, but a Blu-ray.
Yeah.
But Boarding House was the first shot on video movie, horror movie. I always had to say horror movie because that stupid Frank Zappa. Anytime you say Boarding House is the first shot on video movie, people are like, nope. Frank Zappa's whatever movie he made where he like filmed stuff with his video camera for like 2 seconds.
Oh,
I hate that.
I hadn't heard of that, but
so I would just always try to avoid it by saying the first shot on video horror.
Shot on video horror, yeah.
Just to save myself the pain of having to deal with these people. All right, Summer of 84. That was really shocked by that one.
Yeah, that was weird.
Releasing that, it got a really wide distribution, especially for independent film.
Uh huh.
And it was like on Netflix and all sorts of stuff. So,
oh yeah.
Not sure why
it's a 4K, I guess.
Yeah, it's a 4K. But I mean, God, like with newer movies, I can't tell the difference between a Blu-ray and a 4K.
I mean, yeah, that's true.
But you know,
nothing really to restore with Summer of 84.
Yeah,
definitely. I mean,
it's an okay movie, but
I like the movie.
Yeah, it's not like anything I would... I definitely
I don't
not going to pick
yeah.
it. I already have it on Blu-ray, so I'm not going to...
Yeah, I don't think I'm dropped to 47 or whatever.
And then you have The Last Matinee.
Don't know what that is, but the cover is very appealing.
Yeah. That does look good. And then you have shit and champagne. Is that
shit and champagne? Wait, yeah, champagne.
Shit and
duh?
Champagne, I guess is what that's
oh
called.
Yeah, it's just an E that looks
yeah the E
weird.
Looks weird. That looks like a porn.
Yeah.
Shattered Dead, Death of Nintendo. Yeah, so some weird stuff for Vinegar. They're weird, period. I mean, you can't really ever put your... They don't fit neatly in a box, that's for sure. Because, I mean, the Beast... I would never expect them to put Beastmaster out.
Yeah,
I wouldn't think
true.
They'd be the ones to put Beastmaster out. But Vinegar Syndrome's a great company. They do good. They're a bit overpriced, but I think we're going to...
Very.
I think we're going to start seeing a price increase on a lot of this stuff with all the shipping issues going on right now.
Yeah.
So,
very great presentation wise, of course.
Oh, yes. And then Outsiders is getting a 4K. I love that movie.
Cool.
And then the film noir, The Dark Side of Cinema Part 5 is coming out. Now, I haven't been collecting these film noir box sets, but I have been keeping an eye on them. But I do collect the film noir sets from Indicator. Those are UK only, so you have to have a region-free player. But I think the releases on the Indicator Columbia noir sets are way better than the ones that Kino Lobber is putting out. But I would definitely one day like to get these film noir. The thing is, you have to buy them right away because they sell out really quick. They're kind of a hot item, surprisingly. But yeah, so that's it for big releases. We're going to keep an eye out. But yeah, so far this year's been insane. I know we said that last year, but this year has been insane. It's going to be hard to do flippies. Because
yep.
I thought for sure the Eurocrypt of Christopher Lee would probably garnish the number one spot. But I don't know now. I mean, if the Shaw Brothers collection comes out, when they say it's going to come out, if it comes out before 2022, then, you know, we're going to have to consider that. And then you have the Nunsploitation set, which is supposed to come out before 2022, and you have the Folkcore,
yeah, right, in December, supposed to come out.
Yeah, so we got a lot to review for all that. But, yeah, the Folkcore set, I'm really excited for that one. I could see that one winning a flippy. But, you know, you got the Dune 4K release, too, which we're going to be talking about. Then we also have the Melvin Van Peebles box set coming out from Criterion. And, you know, I don't know if that's supposed to drop this year, but if that does, it's like, goddamn. We got a lot of money. You know, we don't get sponsored content either.
No.
To review. We don't get review copies. So we did one time from Grindhouse releasing, but that was just one time. But yeah, and also Melvin Van Peeble passed away too, which is really sad. He directed the first blaxploitation movie that was actually made by black people. And it's Sweetback's Badass Song. And it's a really good movie. You should check it out. It's weird. It had been a while since I watched it, and I watched it on the day he passed. And I kind of had to fast forward through some parts because I didn't want my neighbors to think I had child pornography, because there's this part where this little black kid like climbs on this naked woman.
Huh.
And I don't know how that's legal, but
yeah.
Anyway, so if you just fast forward through that part, it's trying to show how Sweetback was like having chicks back when he was a little kid. It's definitely done as a gag, but it's kind of disturbing to watch a little. I mean, because they're both completely naked. I mean, it's not like they fake it or anything.
Yeah.
So it's weird.
A little odd.
It's weird, but you can always fast forward through that part. You know, there's nothing wrong with that, and I hope Criterion doesn't, you know, censor that. But not for me. But yeah, he was a great writer and director. So, especially in the underground cult grindhouse world. But anyway, so that's it for news, and we're going to take a break, and when we get back, we're going to go over everything that happened that the pandemonium we
playing with heart is a dangerous game, so don't play with mine, I'll put you to shame. Here it comes. Here comes the biggest country music jamboree ever to hit the motion picture screen, Road to Nashville. At last, you're going to see and hear your all-time favorites singing their top-selling hits. Marty Robbins, Honey Smith, Johnny Cash, Hank Snow, the Stoneman Family, Bill Anderson. Yes, it's picking and singing time on the Road to Nashville. Hear 38 all-time top hit songs with over 60 great country music stars, including such headliners as Webb Pierce, The Kitty Wells Show, Lefty Frizzell, The Osborne Brothers, Norma Jean, Waylon Jennings, Bill Phillips. Filmed in Technicolor and Technoscope, Road to Nashville features top recording artists of the country music field as they sing out with that true Nashville sound. Here's Farron Young, Dottie West, Porter Wagner, The Carter Family. Yes, sir, folks, it's a shindig, hayride, barn dance, and hoedown, all wrapped up into the biggest country music jamboree you'll ever see.
And now we're going to talk about the Pandemonium weekend, which was last weekend. And it was awesome. As far as movies, it was... You can't beat it. Now, Flipside did get to... Here's how it went down, okay? Last year, we picked a few of the movies for that played. This year, obviously, Savage Streets was one that I had been bugging Joe about for a long time. Since I started going to Skyline, I said he needed to show that. And he had tried to show it a few times during the Pandemonium weekend events, but unsuccessful due to licensing issues. Eventually, I contacted the writer of Savage Streets to see if maybe he knew somebody that might have the rights, and didn't get anywhere with that. And then Joe was able to contact that ex-mafia guy that's who owned. So Savage Streets was wrapped up in that whole money laundering mafia movie producing scam that happened.
Oh, really?
That happened in the 80s. So, the guy that owned that, that's why a lot of people were telling Joe not to try to book that movie, to stay away from it. But the guy's really nice. He does like self-help videos on YouTube now and stuff like that. Anyways, so Savage Streets, obviously, you know, I think it's safe to say that that the flip side had a lot to do with, you know, at the end of the day, Joe was a real hero of this whole thing, but, you know, flip side, we stayed on him about, like, show Savage Streets, you know, it's awesome. And, you know, we always talk about Savage Streets, how much we love that movie. But as far as the other movies, Joe and I were sitting in the booth one day, and he was having some trouble coming up with some titles. And I said, because he's like, well, what are some, like, top-notch exploitative, you know, grindhouse films? And I said, well, try not to think about films that are exploitative, try to think of the directors. So that's why you had the Frank Hennenlotter, you had Frankenhooker, you had Jack Hill with The Big Dollhouse. And so once we started going down that way, it was a little bit easier to pick the titles. And then you had Cannibal the Musical.
Yeah.
Which doesn't really fit in the grindhouse, but I love that goddamn movie. And when Joe told me he was going to play that, I got really excited about that one. And then Rocky Horror Picture Show. Now, I like Rocky Horror Picture Show, but I would say I'm outside of the cult following for that.
Yeah. That kind of has its own thing aside from any of the exploitation movies. But
That was really a great show that Transylvania Lip Treatment put on. And, so it was a fun show. the vendors, for vendors, it's really easy, actually. There was the Skyline vendor. There was the Transylvania Lip Treatment vendor. There was Ken, who is my favorite vendor by a long shot. He sells posters and movies. But he'll like have a really rare DVD, and he knows what they're worth, you know, but he'll have a really rare DVD like that Cycle Savages I got from him.
Yeah.
And he's just going to give it to you for, you know, a good fair price.
Oh yeah.
It's going to be like $5.
Yeah. I remember buying some stuff from him and I was pleasantly surprised with, he's like, oh, just give me $5 or something like that. And like, okay.
Yeah, and then his posters are insane. Like I said, you know, I bought a Savage Streets poster from him for $40. So that's way more than a fair price for that poster.
And then, yeah, those posters are really cool.
He usually sells most of his posters for about $5 to $10, and they'll be original one sheets. So yeah, he's a great vendor. So as long as he's there, I'm happy. Tony was there one night selling VHS, and then Tim Cox from Man Cave Comics was there.
Yeah, a lot of cool collectibles and stuff.
Yeah, so wasn't a lot of vendors, but the vendors that were there were really good. So, and let's see here. You know that new logo that Severin has for their nun?
Yes.
It's like their old logo, but nun.
Yeah.
I thought it looked just like Rebecca.
Oh, really?
Reinhardt, so I messaged her, and she was like, oh my gosh, that does.
Huh? That's funny.
And then she posted about how she looked like and everything. Okay, so for the first night, Friday night, we had The Big Doll House, Cannibal the Musical, Mother's Day, The Weird World of LSD on 35, and now that was Don's print, and Harrison and I have always been a fan of the trailer.
Yeah, trailer is awesome.
Yeah, and I'll say the trailer's a lot better than the movie. I'll just say that. Then they had like a secret movie, which I stayed up for, and it was just kind of a random assortment of strip teases. And
okay,
they had the opening for Easy Rider on 35. It was weird.
Okay.
Just a weird assortment of things. It wasn't an actual film.
Of stuff.
And then Saturday night was Savage Streets, Frankenhooker, and then before Frankenhooker, sorry, they had the Rocky Horror Picture Show with the shadow cast and everything. And that happened right at midnight, and that was a lot of fun. There was only two virgins there. That might mean something to you Rocky Horror Picture Show people, but there was two virgins, and I guess that's not very good. Usually there's a lot more.
Yeah, it seems like there would be.
But there wasn't very many people standing there. There was maybe 10 people, and it was kind of cold,
really?
And they were spraying you with water, so I kind of get why people probably didn't.
Maybe some people were back in their car or whatever.
Yeah, you know, when I was walking back to the concession stand, I did notice a lot of people sitting outside their cars and then doing the talk back parts.
Yeah.
So they were like engaged, but
they were like,
they weren't watching by the stage. Yeah.
Didn't want to go up by the stage.
And they knew all of like the little things you say, like, you know.
Yeah.
But, then they showed Frankenhooker, which is a Franken and Lauder film, which is really good. And then they showed Happily Ever After, which is that lost film that's Don had a 35mm print of, and he couldn't figure out what it was. We didn't know what movie it was. And then Mark Hoick eventually did his detective work and figured out what the movie was called. So they showed that in its entirety, which I had already seen the movie in parts.
Okay.
But this is my first time watching it all together.
Yeah, what kind of movie was that? Was that a...
So basically, this girl has this boyfriend, and they're like at a college party, and then the boyfriend has all of his friends have sex with her.
Oh, okay.
And like rape, like a sex and like rape her and everything. And then so she gets married, and then her new husband like go around and kill all those guys.
Oh, okay.
That raped her. So it's like a rape revenge.
Okay. Was it like 70s or?
Yeah, it's like 70s, like mid 70s okay. probably. Or maybe it was like 72. I can't remember. But it's okay. It was kind of a fun follow-up with Savage Streets on the same night. You know,
yeah.
Because like Savage Streets is kind of like a rape revenge.
It. Yeah.
So, yeah, that was the lineup. They did a lot of trailers. Joe made trailer comps after each movie, and they're really good.
Yeah.
There's a couple of them that were Ozploitation comps, but they were all themed, which was awesome. But yeah, the Ozploitation one was a lot of fun. I wrote down a bunch of movies I hadn't heard of that were listed on there. But they did the Turkey Shoot trailer, which I always love that movie.
Yeah, definitely. And they had the Friday, they had the, of course, the burlesque show. Hegg's Drive-In. That was really impressive.
Yeah.
Not just as burlesque, but there was one woman that was, I don't know what you would call it. Almost contortionist style flexibility. Yeah.
Yeah, it was like a a strip show but with a chair.
Yeah.
It was incredible. But yeah, that was Hag's Drive Show or Road Show, Hag's Road Show or something like that. Side show, yeah. So that was a lot of fun. I found it more interesting than the Rocket Doll stuff.
It was different.
So
It was a little more variety, I guess, I would say.
Yeah, there were some girls that just got up there and didn't strip that just, you know, did, like, cool things. Like
yeah.
Hip dancing or whatever that's called.
You're right, yeah.
Do that. But, yeah, so that was a lot of fun. I stayed the night. It got really cold, but I stayed in a tent, and it did rain Saturday morning. And yeah, I just remember being really cold.
Yeah, I did not spend the night, and I was getting cold even just.
Yeah, I think there was only like two other people besides me that set up tents. But
yeah,
it was a lot of fun. It was great, you know, talking to everybody. You know, it seemed like everybody was there. Even Joe Hedge showed up, and yeah, I had a really great time. Watching Savage Streets on 35mm, or well, it wasn't 35mm, sorry, but watching Savage Streets at the drive-in was...
Yeah, that was great.
It was awesome. And I had a lot of people come up to me and go, that was my first time watching that. It was really good. So, definitely an underrated movie, I think.
Yeah.
I don't think enough people talk about Savage Streets. That's why I talk about, like, any chance I get.
Just the revenge parts were very satisfying to see.
Yeah.
Up on the big screen.
Yeah, and I like the lines where, like, that principal goes, go fuck an iceberg. That John Vernon. He's like, go fuck an iceberg. He's, like, talking to these high school kids.
Yeah.
Gotta love
the
80s.
Weird principal, but, you know.
Yeah, I mean, he, like, had a thing for Linda Blair's character.
Yeah.
And then when Linda Blair's sister, played by Linnea Quigley, is deaf, and she gets she's in a gymnasium waiting on her sister, and she gets like cornered and like this bad stuff happens to her, and the principal just goes, well, she should have been there in the first place.
Yeah.
And you could just see this rage. And I just love how pissed, unapologetically pissed off Linda Blair is in that movie.
Uh-huh.
She's just so pissed off the whole movie. I mean, even before anything really happens. Except when she's with her sister, you know, when she's with her sister, it's like, oh, whew, you know, everything's great, you know, happy as could be. But when she's, like, dealing with other people, she just, like, goes off the handle, just like... I love that. And that's definitely a Danny Steinman character. If you ever watch his movies, his characters always have like short tempers, which leads me to believe that he probably himself had a short temper. A lot of people didn't like Danny Steinman. So,
yeah. You know what? I was thinking that would pair well with the, I can't remember the name of it now, that the 80s movie with the teacher that gets revenge that we saw at the drive-in. It's like he's an inner city high school teacher.
Oh, it's a male teacher?
Yeah.
Oh, is that class of 1984?
Oh, yeah, class of 1984.
Yeah, that would have been a good pair up, class of 1984. Yeah, because that principal and that, like, holds the kids at gunpoint.
Yeah.
He's like, all right. Yeah, that would have been a great pair up. But yeah, if you haven't watched Savage Streets, check it out. The Code Red Blu-ray is readily available, so there's really no excuse not to buy the movie and watch it. I think it's even on Tubi, actually. If you want to watch it for free, it's on Tubi. Yeah. So, yeah, check out Savage Streets. It has the best soundtrack.
Really good soundtrack.
The soundtrack's insanely good. It's like, how is it that good? Even that one part where they're just fucking around and they're dancing on the tables and everything. There's like a song that plays through that, and it's like insanely good. And it's just for like a minute or two.
Yeah, I remember
but
that
the full
part,
song's on the album, and it's one of my favorite songs on the album. But yeah, and then we had specialty items for the food. You know, you had the Sammy Terry loin, which is basically like a pizza tenderloin type thing. And there was like a Frankenhooker pizza, I think, or something.
Oh,
like that.
Yeah.
And then there was the Linda Blair, which is a green milkshake.
And there was the the thing is like it's like the Sloppy Joe dog.
But oh, that was it. Yeah, it was like a Franken dog
or something.
Franken dog
or something.
Yeah. That was it. Somebody were saying there was a lot of onions on that, so I don't know if that was true or not. But yeah, the Prince of Shock, something happened where he didn't show up, so I can't really say the Prince of Shock, the guy that was there last year that did all the crazy.
Yeah.
Dressing up and everything like that. But, yeah, so that was Pandemonium weekend. Sorry we didn't do a live show, but there you go.
And next weekend we got the Drive-In Massacre.
Yep, next weekend's Drive-In Massacre. Severin's going to be there. They're going to have a table. The vendors, let me tell you, it's going to be worth going just for the vendors.
Oh, yeah.
Because I heard a couple
Long
vendors.
List of vendors.
There's too many. Joe had too many vendors on this one. There's going to be two tables or two tents set up.
Nice.
Full of vendors. And Severin always is awesome because that guy that runs that's always really nice and hooks you up with some deals and stuff.
Yeah, your chance to buy stuff without having to pay for shipping or anything like that.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, you'll want to come to that. If not for anything, just for that. And then Jackie Kong's going to be there. The guy that plays Grandpa is going to be there from Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Yeah, which is, seems kind of funny because he doesn't really have dialogue or anything. I mean, he did a great job playing the grandpa character.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
I just think it's entertaining, funny that he's going to be there.
Yeah. That show is going to be awesome. And the lineup's just insane for what they're showing and everything. So.
And the trailer contest, too.
Oh, yeah, the trailer contest. I have two trailers entered tonight, so make sure after my trailer she is shout and holler because that's how they're voting. Which I think's stupid, but whatever.
That is kind of dumb, but
I know a lot of people there, so hopefully they'll.
Yeah. If you know people, you might be at an advantage, so.
But, yeah, so my trailer, I'm not going to spoil it, so I'm not going to tell you, but it's, there's one I made just solely by myself, and it's pretty funny. And then there's one that Curtis and Walter came up with the idea and did, and then I helped out with filming and everything, and it's a lot of fun too. I was really shocked by how good that one came out. But yeah, so come to that and it's gonna be a lot of fun. But now we're gonna take another break, and when we get back we're gonna review the Doom 4K from Arrow, so stay tuned.
legend beware the chainsaw chug. The legend beware the chainsaw chug.
So the version that I have is the deluxe steelbook, and it comes with a steelbook of Dune, and it comes with a nice little book here that just has a bunch of journals and different things of that people wrote for the essays and stuff like that. And then it comes with the design of Dune, which is a bunch of sketches and storyboards and stuff for the film. So it's kind of cool. And then it comes with a poster, and it's sort of a weird dimension. I'm not a big fan of it, but, you know, hey, I'm glad they included it. The more they include, the better, I always say.
Oh, yeah.
And then Harrison has the deluxe version.
Yeah. It's like the deluxe cover. But it's the it's not a steelbook, but it has the sandworm instead. And I think the only thing that is missing is that design book. It does have the lobby cards and the poster and the book of essays as well.
Yeah. So I watched this the other day. I actually had to contact Arrow. So I was watching it, and it looks great. One thing, kind of pissed off about, but, you know, there's nothing Arrow could have done about it, is that there's no Alan Smith cut, so there's no extended cut. The theatrical cut's good. I haven't watched the theatrical cut in years because I just watch the extended cut every time I watch it. But if you want to watch the extended cut, get it now. I think that DVD's going to start going up in price soon, but... you can get it for about $30 now, but there's a steelbook DVD of Dune that came out quite a while ago, actually. I think I was still in high school when that came out. And that comes with the Alan Smith cut, the extended cut. With the extended cut, there's a lot more showing than telling. So in the theatrical cut, a lot of people complained that they were confused what was going on if you haven't read the book. And in the Alan Smith cut, it fixes that, but it fixes it in a way where it shows, like, pictures and stuff. It doesn't really show action.
Okay.
So, some people don't like that. I love it. It just gives more backstory and everything, and there's extended scenes and stuff like that, so I usually always watch the, extended cut, but I did watch the theatrical cut. It looks incredible. They did an insane job on it, and... when I got to about the part where Keyes is showing Paul and Leto around, showing him like the spice mining operations and stuff. So maybe like 40 minutes in, my 4K just kind of, the disc just started skipping around a lot and wasn't really playing, and it froze for a long time and all this stuff. So I went to the internet, and there was other people that had complained that this had happened. So then I contacted Arrow, and they asked me for all the information about, you know, what version I have and the serial number and what kind of Blu-ray player I have and all that. So hopefully they get that fixed with some replacement disc. But
yeah,
you know, Arrow handled it really well. When I contacted them, they contacted me back right away.
That's good.
So I don't have anything against them. You know, mistakes happen.
Right.
And, yeah, I tried cleaning the disc off and everything and putting it back in. Maybe there, you know, thinking there was like some sort of, I don't know.
Yeah, I haven't heard of too many issues like that on a 4K disc before.
Yeah, they say they can get scratched. They can't. They're like scratch resistant. So.
Right.
But I thought maybe there was some like microscopic thing on there or something. You know, like.
Yeah, I would. Yeah, I would probably do that too. Just.
But yeah, see it if still it helps. Didn't really help. It seems like there's an imperfection on the disc.
Yeah, hopefully they ship out a replacement for you.
Yeah, but the packaging is awesome. I mean, that's really worth the price alone, just the packaging. And there's like a million different they came out with like four different versions.
Yeah,
you can get. So make sure you
not to mention
decide which one you want.
Blu-ray as they have Blu-ray as well as 4K.
Yeah, yeah. So definitely pick it up. And yep. Like I said, I'm in the minority of people where the issue's happening. Sounds like so. You'll probably be okay if you buy yours, but yeah, it happens about the 40-minute mark. Mine was about 48 minutes, I'd say.
Yeah, the only thing about the theatrical for me is like it seems like it wraps things up really fast compared to the book.
Yeah,
I mean, just for necessity, I guess, if you're going to make it a shorter film, but there's like that montage scene when Paul Atreides is like actually kind of just learning how to do stuff. So
yeah, it's really rushed.
Rushed, yeah, is basically what it is, but. Still great, but that's the only thing I've noticed compared to actually reading it.
Yeah, if you want to watch the new Dune movie and you want to be able to keep up, but you're lazy and I don't know, something's wrong with you and you don't feel like reading a book, which you should just read the book. Let's say you don't want to do that though. So let's say you're going to cheat, watch the David Lynch Dune. Okay. There's a few things that you'll need to know, though. The differences between it and the book. One thing is, and I don't think they fixed it with the new Dune either, so it doesn't matter. But Gurney Halleck is like supposed to be like hideously deformed. And he's like hideously deformed in the book, but, you know, and he's played by Patrick Stewart in the David Lynch movie. And then he's played by some, you know, Aeropostale model looking guy,
right,
in the new movie. So that one doesn't really matter, but the Bene Gesserits are bald or something in the David Lynch Dune. I don't know why that is, so that's not really
I don't know either.
The whole thing about Paul using his voice as like a weapon, that's not in the book. Let's see. Aside from like things that I thought were important, I'll kind of avoid the character development stuff. That's not so much.
Yeah,
but
right.
Yeah. So Paul doesn't. So in the David Lynch Dune movie, Paul like has this thing where he like uses his voice as like a weapon. And then he teaches that to the Fremen, and they all use their voice as a weapon. That doesn't happen in the book, so that's not anything. And then the end of the movie, the David Lynch movie of Dune, is it rains.
Yeah.
So basically, the spice is destroyed. They've destroyed the spice because they say he who destroys the spice controls the spice. Or whatever.
Right.
But that was David Lynch finishing.
Wrapping
because
it up,
yeah. Because
back
in the 80s, they didn't do this shit where they just, like, they knew they were just going to make one Dune movie.
Right.
They knew they weren't going to make, like, all the books. So, what David Lynch did is he just put, like, a period at the end of the movie. And he did what basically the Fremen wanted to do in the original book, which was basically tame the land, alter the ecosystem, and make it land.
Right. Yeah,
because they had the technology to control weather conditions in the book. They don't really talk about it in the movie, but they could control weather conditions on planets, and that's what part of the Spacing Guild and the Emperor do. But of course, obviously, so they have the power to change Dune to not make it this desolate, terrible place to live, but instead they kept it the way it was because it produced spice, which
right.
is, you know, the most important commodity in the universe. So yeah, David Lynch kind of put a period there. So the book doesn't end that way, and I don't imagine the new movie ending that way.
Yeah,
I've heard
probably
the new movie
not.
Is just the first half of the Dune book.
Okay.
So if you want, what I would recommend is watch half or read half of Dune at least. If you don't
yeah.
feel like committing to the whole book, because it is a big book. It's 800 pages. But it's an easy 800 pages, I think. But
yeah, it's not like trying to, you know, read this Cimmerillion or something like that.
Have you ever read Moby Dick?
Yeah, Moby Dick is, yeah.
Life's too right. short to read Moby Dick, I always say.
Yeah, it's an easy read as far as, like...
Yeah. Yeah, Dune.
Yeah, readability.
Yeah. Moby Dick's just, like, 1,000 pages about whale bones and shit. Like, oh, my God.
Yeah, I actually did not finish Moby Dick.
Yeah,
so.
It's very good. No.
Started it.
The beginning is great. Like, that's what sucks, is the beginning of the book is really great, and then the end is really great, but... There's about 1,000 pages. Like, the last 10 pages and the first 10 pages. But anyways, we're not a book
yeah, right.
group here. But anyways, we both do like to read a lot. But, yeah, so I would recommend watching the David Lynch Dune movie, I guess.
Yeah.
And...
I mean, I guess
it
comes out...
You're still going to be confused.
Yeah.
The new Dune movie's probably going to be better at explaining Dune than David Lynch movie.
I would hope so. I mean, I guess we'll find out in a few weeks.
Yep.
This comes out this month, right?
Yep, and but, Dune's already got an international release. I mean, it's already been released everywhere but America for some reason. But, yeah, I'll probably be checking it out. Yeah. But anyways, so that's it. Get the Dune 4K from Arrow. It's awesome. It's definitely worth the price tag. And... We're gonna head out and we'll see you on the flip side.